Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us on this week's broadcast. We're coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, high atop the Pure Sex Radio network here.
Go Jonathan.
We're firmly seated here in our little behind our little desk and ready to go. My name is Jonathan Daugherty. I'm here with Steven Cervantes. Good morning, Steven.
Good morning.
Well, we are going to utter that word on the broadcast.
No, don't say it. This is Pure Sex Radio, not that M word.
Okay, yeah. I'm just going to hand it over to you because this was your production here.
Oh,
so,
no. You give me credit. Thank you, sir.
Why don't you tell our listeners what we're going to actually talk about
M
today?
The M word. Well, we're just going to include it. And I was telling Jonathan before the show started, we're going to have to sooner or later say that M word. We're a couple of Christian guys that try not to say the M word. And so let me see if I can get it out. Maturation. No, that's not it, is it? Mustard and bacon. mustard.
Yeah, getting closer.
Masturbation.
That's right.
Masturbation.
That's it.
Masturbation. Oh, can you say that on the radio?
I think we can. I think we're okay in doing that.
Self-stimulation. That sounds better, right?
Oh, that's just getting around the issue, though.
Oh, darn. I was thinking about this whole issue of masturbation and how it gets paired with pornography and fantasy. And after listening to men talk, you know, I would propose that there's like this track that men get on. And it involves these three elements. And I know you're shaking your head over there. They just can't see you. You're going, yeah, that's right. I agree with you, Stephen.
Well, I've got the notes in front of me, so I can see.
So I'm thinking, you know, masturbation somehow rolls into porn, which then rolls into fantasy, which takes you down this track, if you will. And almost like a train moving down a track. It doesn't stand still, doesn't go backwards, it just goes forward slowly, medium speed, fast. And there's several cars on this train, if you will. And the first one is the whole idea of masturbation. And I thought, well, we should talk a little bit about it. And I think we should dedicate a whole show to this topic of self-stimulation. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm talking about the packaging of the three. But let me lightly touch on the first one, because the whole idea of, as a young man, discovering the ability to have an orgasm and the power of releasing pleasure in your body. You know, as we start to talk, I know what's happening out there. Everybody has to go back to their first experience. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start telling stories, I love it, because everybody rolls back in their head and goes, oh, yeah, me too, mm-hmm. you know. And you go, what age were you, 13, 14, 15? And how did you discover it?
Well, it's almost like no matter where it led, there's this nostalgia to that. Because there was a, you know, in a sense, especially for men, there was just kind of an exploratory nature to it. And so just for men to discover anything, there's an excitement to that. And
I'll have to tell you, I remember the day I was sitting in my backyard with my older brother and all his buddies. I'm listening to my voice. I can't really stand the excitement here. Remembering this story, and they're talking about this, you know, self-stimulation. And I'm going, what are they talking about? I've never heard of this. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't play dumb. Don't play. Listen. And what does that mean? What are they saying? What do you do? How does it work? You know? And I couldn't wait for the big thrill. That was the beginning. And remember, nothing stays small and simple and basic. Everything moves along through time. And so then You know, and it's funny because virtually every man, over all the years, I only met one man who said he didn't learn how to masturbate until after high school.
I've never met a person that it wasn't in their teen years.
So I think it was unusual. He was saying, "Yeah, I didn't learn. My friends never talked about it. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. So there's this ability to rouse oneself and reach orgasm, and it's a very pleasurable sensation. But it gets paired with something over time, or it tends to get paired. I think it starts as a simple, kind of innocent act, really, because you hear stories of innocence where people just stumble upon this. Now, you also hear stories where somebody, you know, taught it to you or touched you inappropriately. So it's not always innocent. But lots of times it starts as an innocent act of self-exploration. But then the second part that gets paired with it is the whole issue of pornography. And you know, inappropriately using females and female nakedness and pairing those two together. So then the question becomes, when did you see your first porn? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a little kid named Jimmy coming down the street, older than me, you know, saying, "I got a secret. Come here, I want to show you this stuff." And we usually sit on the front porch swing, you know. And Jimmy says, "No, no, come on, we got to walk away from your house, where safety is and parents are. I've got to show you this picture," you know.
Well, and I think, like for me, I mean, I definitely remember my first encounter with pornography because, in a sense, it was somewhat traumatic because it was something I wasn't expecting to see. The first porn I saw was in a hollowed-out tree stump in the middle of this field, and so I was expecting, as a 12-year-old kid, to see, you know, a dead carcass or something. I wasn't expecting that, and so it kind of hit me in the stomach when my friend pulled this magazine out and showed it to me. And
he called it wildlife, did he?
I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know. But when I saw that, it was traumatic and stimulating at the same time. But
scary and shameful, right? All of that just flooded.
Now, for me, in my experience, the pornography actually came before the masturbation. And you know, I know that doesn't always happen that way. But for me, pornography was kind of my lesson in my first lesson in sexuality, and so for me it came before. So I never
now,
had.
Isn't this interesting how your experience starts one way, but they're both parts to this. Mm-hmm. You know, we both have porn somehow experience stories where it gets introduced.
So I never really had that. What you're talking about in terms of that innocent exploration, self exploration. Mine kind of always had that image of pornography in there. So I never felt really an innocence to my sexuality.
You know, I remember a guy telling me once that there were a number of males in a dorm, and they were in high school, but they were living away from home. And one guy learned to do this in bed, and then he taught the other guys, and they would sit around and do this together.
Oh my!
And
wow.
You know, it's that there was no porn involved.
Mm-hmm.
It was just males exploring their body and having fun, and this is like their Friday night activity. Just guys, just together in a dorm, you know, going for distance, and you know.
Oh man!
So anyway, it can have an innocent aspect to it. I think it can also have, as you say, an ugly start to it, and then you're sucked in immediately, you know. And it's everybody loses innocence somewhere on this journey, you know, and that's what we're talking about. Were you done, or
go ahead? Yeah.
Number three, the third car on this little railroad train going down the track is fantasy, because I think then we use our minds and our emotions and the thrill, and we start creating like the best of scenarios, the best of this, the prettiest that, the most shapely part, you know, a story of we're the hero and we rescue the female in distress, you know, a fantasy. So there's some self-stimulation, there's some maybe inappropriate looking material, then there's the brain gone wild.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this fantasy component is, at least in my experience, has been the most dangerous, I think, because pornography, in a sense, I mean, you still got to get material somewhere,
right?
You know.
Yes.
Masturbation, there has to be an activity going. I mean, you know, I've got to actually get aroused and perform this act. Fantasy, it can be happening at any time, in any place, with any trigger. And what I've found, too, is like what we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you know, is when you mentioned the word masturbation, and we can just picture all these listeners, you know, kind of having this nostalgic memory of their first masturbation experience. That's fantasy, because if you, in some ways, if you remember, especially when masturbation got coupled with pornography, the memories that you might have of that, it strips out all the reality, doesn't it? I mean, it strips out the shame and the guilt that was that came afterwards, or the...
And the secrecy. Yes, you're right.
All those anxious feelings that were involved in that, and you just remember the pleasurable part. And so that's kind of the way fantasy, in my mind, is so dangerous, because it that's why it's fantasy. It doesn't put any reality in there.
If you put any reality, it messes it up, right?
Exactly.
It's just, it's visual perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And the dilemma is, you can't find perfection walking around very well. You find humanity, right?
Well, I found, too, with fantasy, it doesn't necessarily have to have actual material. What I mean is, like, when you couple masturbation and pornography together, you're kind of developing a thought pattern.
Okay.
So fantasy can just run with that thought pattern and say, I don't actually have to have material to draw up, to draw from in my mind. I can just create new material, new images, new experiences.
Wow, that's like a generator, right? A new power surge behind the other two.
Sure.
It just takes it further.
And it kind of keeps that, as you're putting it, that train rolling down the track.
So, you know, what's the combined effect? And I like what you said about fantasy, because it takes on... it adds a new dimension. It brings energy and possibilities that maybe a magazine didn't bring, or just you and your physical parts didn't bring. Fantasy kind of wraps it all together. And the three of these trains move down this track. And the dilemma is, at the end of the track is a brick wall and destruction. And nobody tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at what's happened in terms of men's life that have not bridled their sexuality, and this is the area we're talking about, men, about the areas that must be reined in, bridled, controlled, managed. You know, one time I was giving a little talk, and I said, you just got to manage this stuff. Even masturbation has to be managed so it's not out of control, you know. Everything has to be dampened down. Well, you know, it was a few ministers, and they said, everything has to be zero. And I'm going, yeah, that's true. In an ideal world, everything should be zero. But it keeps cropping up and popping up and little seeds, you know, and you got to kind of keep those cut down. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I don't know how.
Well, and, you know, that's why whenever I'm doing a workshop or something, and I've caught some flack on this before because of kind of what you're saying, I will say, listen, guys, you've got to get away from the perfection model and go to the progression model.
Yeah, that's good.
You're trying to move towards something, but perfection, it's not perfection.
Perfection will kill you. It'll kill you. And that's what I meant to say. I don't know how to train perfection into men.
Well,
I don't know how to do it.
You can't.
But I think that's what, I mean, and Jesus was the gold standard for perfection. But that's why grace had to be introduced.
Mm-hmm.
We could not hold perfection.
Well, and that's why Jesus did what he did. Because he knew we couldn't hold perfection.
So you can either drop your rocks or start chunking them now, boys. Because if you can do perfection, then you have the right to hit us. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, drop your rocks, because we're not perfection and you're not perfection.
And the thing is, I think part of this model here of this masturbation, pornography, and fantasy train, so to speak, is that what it leads towards is, or how it continues in its motion, is kind of that law of diminishing returns. So that first experience you had with masturbation, or that first experience you had with pornography or fantasy, well, that was a powerful experience. At a point in time, the shine kind of goes off of the vehicle, so to speak, and all of a sudden you got to find either more material, something new, something different, and that's always going to lead you further down the track.
You know, the interesting thing as you're talking is that God can be that, the new. you know, the exciting, the more than expected, the surprise, the renewed. God can be those things. But these three in combination, we're discussing this little personal train that we put on the tracks and roll it down, thinking this is really taking us somewhere.
Well, what are some of the, I see here that you got some things you want to mention as far as where this leads us in terms of an emotional state. I mean, if we stay on this track, what are some of the consequences that brings about in our emotional lives? And
well, I'll say a few words and you can help me kind of paint the picture, because first I think it ends in a sense of loneliness. We're all alone doing this thing and we can't stop ourselves, and nobody else has this problem, and it rolls forward into despair of it can never stop, and I'm divided, I'm torn, and I have such shame and guilt inside me. Any comment on those?
Amen. I think it's true. I mean, you know, if you think about, you know, this is one of the things I try to harp on a lot, and it's one of the things that's probably the most challenging in my personal life, and that is that we were always designed for community. You know, none of us were ever designed to do anything for the length of our life in isolation. I mean, there's certainly moments I think that we can have of solitude, quiet, aloneness, things like that. But in terms of this idea of loneliness or hiddenness or separateness, I don't think we were ever designed for that. And if you look at masturbation, what is that? It's self-stimulation. It's a totally, you know, self-centered, isolated activity. Pornography, fantasy, what are these things? These things are all designed towards disconnection. And if you think about it, aren't they also designed for discontent? I mean, if pornography ever actually satisfied, would the industry continue to be growing?
Yeah.
I mean, because you'd see
more
one
and more and more.
You'd
right.
see one pornographic image and say, "Ah, oh, that did it for me. There we go. I'm done." And that's And so that dissatisfaction, coupled with the fact that these are isolated activities, just draws farther and farther away from community. And so it's obvious that you would end up in a lonely, shame-filled, desperate state of mind and
heart. Let me add a few more to that, because I was thinking there's such a sense of bondage to this. What starts as perceived freedom. Oh, I've learned something. Oh, it's new. Oh, it's edgy, risky, cutting edge.
I'm in control.
Yeah, and in the end, you've wrapped yourself up with the very things you called freedom. You have such bondage, and then you have to keep it a secret because it's so embarrassing, and you have to be secretive, and you live with a sense of division inside yourself. You want to love God, but you feel you can't. You want to be a good servant, but you fall on your face. There's just such a push-pull divide that you almost like have to lop off your sexual self and hide it from God. Oh, they tried that already in the garden, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Hide your secrets from God. Yeah, that's how you live. Show them your good stuff and hide your secrets.
Well, you've got a verse here that you wanted to share that are some verses that really demonstrate kind of this progression that occurs when we get on this track, so to speak.
Do you happen to have your Bible open? I'm flipping here.
We're going to look at James chapter 1. So this is the brother of Jesus, actually, that wrote this. So he's got an inside connection, you know, on how this stuff works. But
go for it.
James chapter 1, verse 13 says, "No one undergoing a trial should say, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death."
Desire, sin, and death.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's a few train cars linked together there going down. If you don't bridle desire.
Well, and you know, you had made mention of this before the broadcast. Isn't it interesting that they mentioned temptation and desire there, but neither one of those are sin in and of themselves? I mean, temptation is kind of what entices you to try to get on the track.
Right.
Desire, okay, you've got desires. The desires in and of themselves aren't what's sin. It's when that desire has conceived. You know, it's when that desire has been expressed or explored or chased after.
And it's almost desires like body cravings or something. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to feed them. You don't have to grow them if your body has a craving, a memory, a thought.
And don't you think this is where a lot of guys get in trouble? Kind of like when you're talking about your ministers that says, well, zero, that's the standard. Don't you think then there's the danger of just lopping off your sexuality completely from your being? Because it's like, what do you do when beauty crosses in front of your eyes?
But
is that sin?
If you think about it, but two thoughts on the table. One is what you said. Let's just make it zero. And that's why most ministers don't even talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. Religious people, they pretend it's a zero, that they have perfect control. They pretend that, but they don't. They're mm-hmm. human. They're flesh. They have bodies. They have desires. So finish your thought.
And that's just it. I think until we're honest about that, we're already dead, so to speak. I mean, we're already sunk. We've already...
And deceiving one another, right? If the older mm-hmm. men will not talk to the younger men about this, you know, then we destine them
like
to...
in 1 John, it says, he who says he's without sin is a liar. You know? In other words, if you're out there saying, pretending that you're at zero, then you're a liar, you're calling God a liar because he knows your imperfections. Mm-hmm. And it's just better to put it out on the table and say, listen, this is the reality. I'm trying to manage... But I don't manage perfectly, and I'm trying to move in a direction. I'm trying to progress.
And that means every thought, take every thought captive. That's the gold standard. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do every day. And do we fail? Yeah, you know. I can't hold perfection, I'll confess. Mm-hmm. Can you hold perfection?
Nope, can't do it. But okay. You know what? And see, that's just, I think where some people get into trouble is they think that because we can't hold perfection, then to admit that is to just cop out.
And just say, leave
we'll
it
just
alone.
Do whatever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah. Don't like, even try.
It's like, no, there's a difference between that and saying and confessing honestly, I'm imperfect, but I'm pushing on. Like Paul said, I've not achieved the prize, but I press on.
And I'm getting stronger, right?
Yeah.
And I'm pursuing God more. And things are becoming less important that used to be so very important. And my appetite is dropping. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really the journey. And you see guys that have been working in this ministry of purity where, you know, a lot of things that just used to be real big draws and pull, they're like little tugs now. They're not huge, you know, things that like tidal waves that used to, you know, come over you and sweep you out to sea. Now they're just like a little fly or a gnat, you know, trying to get your attention.
Well, and see, I think that's a great transition into where we want to close this broadcast in terms of walking with God, because, you know, a lot of guys, and I'm sure you see this a lot too, is when they first kind of realize the extent to which they have fallen victim to this train of masturbation, pornography, and fantasy, and wherever it's led them in their sexual addiction, then there's this idea that the intensity with which they feel the temptations now is how it's always going to be. When we're telling them,
yes.
Can't hold perfection, you got to be pressing on towards something. And they just think, ugh. They just assume that therefore that means the intensity of those temptations will always be the same.
I was in a conference one, and this old guy about 65 raises his hand, says, well, just tell me how to stop. Just go ahead and tell me how to stop what I've spent the last 30 or 40 years of my life perfecting. You know, I'm here at this conference, so just tell me how to stop. I just laugh, oh, quietly, of course. He wanted a magic pill that would just make 40 years of history go away.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
But I think the encouragement is that as you learn to walk with God, as you really get closer to God, like you're saying, the perspective changes.
Yes.
The things that used to pull you and draw you in and seem like you were powerless over don't have the same intensity of the pull that they used to, because the whole paradigm of your life is shifting.
Yes.
Away from that self-centered, isolated person.
Self-serving, self-pleasing,
to
yes.
To this connected person involved in community with God and other people. And so when that paradigm shifts, you know, the temptations that faced you before don't draw you as strongly as they
yes.
did before.
You know what? We should do a show, the best stuff that you've discovered and the best stuff I've discovered. You bring three or four of your bests of what
mm-hmm.
helps you in that moment. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I bring three or four. We just talk about the best stuff on this journey. You've been working on this a long time. I have. And so, you know, what helped you, what verse, what thought, what, you know, the best of. So let me close with these thoughts. Walking with God, we already talked about going down this train track of these three cars and masturbation, porn, and fantasy track, where it's going to lead you. But if you opt to walk closer with God, you're going to find more peace rise inside of you. You're going to have more calmness. You're going to have a different vision and a new mission.
Man, what would happen if you lived your life with purity, passion, and purpose? Could you make a difference in the world, in your family, in your marriage, in your community? I want to tell you about a product that we have that can help you become the man of purity, passion, and purpose that God has designed you to be. There's a workshop that I conducted entitled Becoming a Man of Purity, Passion, and Purpose. We have compiled this workshop onto a 2-CD set that contains 3 sessions. It also has a companion workbook. And this is all about fulfilling your destiny in God's family. If you struggle with pornography, if you're struggling with a sexual addiction, if you're just saying, you know what, I'm fed up with being mediocre, I'm fed up with living just a less than abundant life, this is the resource you need. This resource is a great gift idea. Ladies, if you're out there and your husband or your father, or there's a man in your life who you know could just use some inspiration, could just use some extra help to understand what is it going to take to live the abundant life that God promises, this is the resource. And we want to give you a special offer today of a 20% discount on this resource. We're going to give you that contact information in just a moment. You can also go to our website at pureliferesources.com and use the coupon code PASSION. Again, the coupon code PASSION will get you the 20% discount. That's Becoming a Man of Purity, Passion, and Purpose. Contact us today for a 20% discount.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.